Brought your Bible today. I want us to turn over to the Old Testament. I want to read just a little bit out of the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter number 9. Just very little that I'll read here in this particular passage. Genesis chapter number 9. Verse Genesis chapter number 9. Every one of us see a rainbow. Every one of us, even lost people, see a rainbow. When we see a rainbow, we see a rainbow of beautiful colors. And it only comes occasionally for us. We don't see them every day. We know the reasons why a rainbow will come. All because of a rain. That has to be just perfectly aligned in all the ways, we might say. Not every time it rains do we see a rainbow. But we see a rainbow many, many times in our lifetime. That's saved or lost. If you could count the number of times that each person, maybe each person in this room, sees a rainbow. We might see the same rainbow, but then again, we might not. But how many times would that be? I can't count the number I've seen in my life. And if it was just an element of the earth, like lost people might see it, if it was just an element of the earth, we'd say, boy, ain't that pretty? You know? Ain't that pretty? And we would go on. But it's not just something pretty. In fact, the biblical count that we all would say, here's what we'd say. Well, the reason why we have a rainbow, God is not going to ever destroy this earth again by rain. That's a good answer, isn't it? And we have diligently studied our Bible, and we diligently know that that's the reason He'll never again destroy this earth by that rain, by floods. Boy, we'd have a good answer. Yeah. But is that really the reason why we have a rainbow? Oh, yeah. That's right, preacher. I know I'm right. Yeah, you're right. You're right. But I want to add just a little bit. You know, the Scripture tells us not to add to or take away. Well, I'm really not going to add to the Bible. I'm just going to add to the saying. I want you to read with me the verse. 9th chapter and verse 13. I'm going to read verse 13 only. I do set my bow, which is we call the rainbow. I do set my bow in the cloud. And it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. God, I ask you to look at all of our hearts. Look inside of us. God, see our ways. God, I realize my righteousness cannot exceed. I realize my good cannot do any count. I realize the only righteousness that I can look is filthy rags in your sight. Oh, so I'm so thankful for the blood of Jesus. Thankful, God, that we have this precious promise that we read from. And I pray, God, today, God, your will be done. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. A rainbow in the sky means something to the world. If we were able to see the world really, really, really quick, you say, right now, we're not going to see a rainbow in our skies. But somewhere around the place, somewhere around the journey, there's rainbows every which way. Rainbows all over this world at some point or another. Every day, I'd say somewhere in the world, there's a rainbow. Now, from a high-level perspective, from God's level looking down, we get to read that was a covenant between me and the earth. That's kind of what that word says. Well, that doesn't really make a lot of sense to us. Between me and the earth, a covenant, token of a covenant. Well, the verse in front of it says, and God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature. That is with you for perpetual generations. Which, in other words, in old country boy English, that means from now until the Lord comes back, and we can go further, but now until the Lord comes back, I want you to know there's going to be rainbows in that sky. And that rainbow is going to represent a covenant. But it's not just that. It's not just that. We know that the flood affected this earth from the flood after. Now, prior to the flood, there was sin. Prior to the flood, sin had got so rampant, so strong, it come up in front of God. And if it hadn't have been for Noah finding grace in the eyes of the Lord, where would we be today? But because of sin getting so bad, God destroyed this earth by that flood. But prior to that, when sin got to be so bad, and God looked down to this earth and found one person, and that one person named Noah, and he instructs Noah all about the ark. He does all of those things prior to the flood. When it come time after all that preaching that Noah did, prepare because the Lord's going to send some judgment, all of that took place. When it finally come time to get on board the ark, Noah didn't shut the door. Means nothing to us, right? We read the simple verse in the Bible says, and the Lord, and Noah and his family was in there, and the Lord shut the door. The Lord shut them in, okay? The Lord closed the door. Now, it's your house and my house and everybody else's house. Years ago, you didn't have to do that, but you got to do it now. You better lock your doors, okay? And you know one of the last things you do about the house before you leave it or whatever you might do? You lock the door. You check the door. Why do you check the door? Because you don't know if a kid or somebody else has come along and didn't have it locked. And I've slept in the house so many a night with the door not locked and next morning kicked myself. Oh, why didn't I lock the door? That type of thing. But in reality, wouldn't we want to check the door at night before we go to bed? If a flood's going to come and the flood's going to be on earth, now Noah didn't know anything about a flood, but what if you think for one moment that, oh, I better check that door. No, if the Lord shuts the door, it's going to be okay. If he seals you in, you're sealed in. You know, if your family was on that boat, you won't. To be safe. But if the Lord's in the boat with you, you know you're safe. It puts you on a different level in life if the Lord's on the boat with you. It puts you in a different perspective. For me and my house will serve the Lord. It puts you on a different level. It puts us on a level that we're not trusting ourselves. It puts us on a level that we're totally trusting in God. And Noah built that ark. Never built, never done nothing. God gave him some kind of talent I cannot understand. Friend, whenever he built that ark, he pitched that. He done the best job he could do. But the Lord overseed every bit of it. And when the Lord is overseeing what's going on in your life, he'll instruct you. He'll show you. He'll guide you. You know, the scripture tells us that he'll teach us and he'll guide us into all truth. He actually leads our life. And brother Noah here entrusted his family and he gets on that ark and one of the many things that he might do was every night he'd have to trust God. Every day he'd trust God. We don't think about that. We don't think about all hearing all that rain hitting on that ark. Thank Lord, will we ever see dry land again? Will we ever get off this boat? Will our life ever be changed? But then again, as long as the Lord is with you in the boat, you're okay. Day after day after day. Every day run into the same thing the next day. That same thing over and over and over again. For many of us, we have to be encouraged because let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we'll reap if we faint not. Many of us have to be encouraged because we get, very bored with our lives in God. Maybe we're not trusting Him with His direction in our life. Because remember, they weren't guiding the boat. The Lord was. They weren't protecting the boat. God was. In fact, all they were on board to do was for the ride. Now, I know other things, but they were for the ride. But here's this passage. Finally, after a period of time, the boat rested. You know the story, how they sent out the animals and all. And finally, on the one particular day, on this one particular day, the Bible says what after that boat had rested and had stopped, and every one of them old animals, they got out of that boat and they got off on land. And here's what would have happened in another passage in the Scripture. The passage of Scripture that I'd like to say is whenever the prodigal son was gone for a long period of time, and that daddy was looking for him day after day, and he never appeared. But on one particular day, just like that door opened up and them animals got off, on that one particular day, not too far out in the distance, daddy saw son coming back home. We like that prodigal son story. Whenever that prodigal son came back home, all those things that happened, you know what that daddy did? Called for a feast, a rejoicing time. I mean, happy time. Friend, whenever you go through struggles in life, there's nothing wrong with rejoicing and being happy and rejoicing in God, thanking God. And on this prodigal son story, daddy only knew one thing to do, and that was to restore that son back in fellowship, put a robe on him, put a ring on him, kill the fatted calf, do all those wonderful things. And I rejoice with him on that day. I would. In fact, the reason why I'm saying it, it's common when you have a happy time to rejoice. Occasionally, we'll rejoice because of our salvation. We don't do it every day. I don't know what's wrong with us. We'll thank God once a month or so. Sometimes we get to the part in our life and say, well, I'm coming to the end of my life. I better make sure everything's all right. Friend, you better make sure everything's all right your younger days too. But the realization is this. There will come a time when you realize you're saved, you want to throw a feast. You want to rejoice. You want to kick up your heels. On the day that the animals got off the ark, we overlook this, even though I repeat it regularly. We overlook this, and here's what Noah did. And here's verse 20 of the 8th chapter. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord. I've had that underlined in my Bible I don't know how long. Noah built an altar unto the Lord. Now, if we was to say the first thing we would have done... Whenever we come, went to the Holy Land many years ago, I was thinking about it the other night, but when we went to the Holy Land years ago, and when we come back, you know the first thing we done? I promise you, in New York's airport, me and Charlene go up to a fast food place in the airport and ordered a hamburger and french fries and was tickled to death to get it. Why? Because what we've been eating over on in the other world, man, we're spoiled, ain't we? We're spoiled. But friend, whenever they got off, he built an altar. Would you have done that? Would you have done that? Would you have been like the prodigal son's daddy and throwed a feast? It'd been easy. It'd been easy to sit there and say, God has rescued us on the flood. We're saved. Man, everybody else is gone, but God has seen fit to save my family. Friend, that's a time for rejoicing. And this is what Noah did. Noah built an altar. Now, it wasn't like this altar, what we call an altar. It was an altar for laying a sacrifice and burning a sacrifice unto God. We have this altar where we can come and we can pray and we can ask God to save our soul. We can carry all of our troubles and our cares to Him. We can come to this altar and, friend, we can come burdened and go back free. We can come burdened and go back free. We can do it every day. And, friend, when Noah, whenever he built that altar, he was thanking God for what God had done. If you read it, you'll find that he offered animals. He sacrificed more than one. You read it for yourself. He sacrificed more. In other words, there was multiple animals that he laid down on that altar. Now, them animals had just got through the flood. They had just got, man, they thought they were, they didn't think, but they got it made. Friend of mine, whenever you think about it, whenever he offered those animals, there was something ascended to heaven. Now, the Bible described it as a sweet savor. It was a smell. Not like, maybe it might be like this. You ever walked into the house and supper's cooking and you smell that smell? If them taste buds don't just kick in and you say, oh, yeah. Now, I've been around the house sometimes when other things might be, you know, turnip greens and all, you might like them, but I don't. And you start cooking that kind of stuff, it makes me want to run, okay? But to other folks, oh, yeah. Oh, that's good. Man, they just love. That ain't the kind of smell I'm talking about. I'm not talking about food, because all of us are gluttons. I'm talking about a smell, a sweet savor that goes in front of God, that ascends up into heaven. And that smell, that sacrificial offering that was done by Noah, when that took place, that ascended into heaven, and that satisfied God. Now you listen and you listen well. Throughout time, people have put sacrifices on altars, and that smoke would ascend into heaven. And friend, God would just move when this would take place. I got to save my time because I'd like to talk to you about Jesus, but let me tell you, let me go on. When this took place and that sweet smell came in front of God, it pleased God. And here's how it pleased God. He again says, I'm not going to curse the ground. The Lord smelled the sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. He goes on to say a lot of things about harvest. In chapter 9, verse 1, and God blessed Noah. He told him to be fruitful and multiply. He does all of those sayings. For the next 8, 10, 12 verses, God begins to talk about general things of the world, but also brings in the general thing of Noah, him blessing him. And then when it comes down to a covenant, an agreement, that covenant is going to be, God was saying, between me and you. In this terminology, between God and Noah. And that in the beginning, that covenant was between the two. And that covenant lasted. That lasted, and just listen to my terminology, until Noah died. You see, agreement or a covenant, it's kind of like me.
I am saved by God's grace. And my salvation, I am saved even though I'm on this side of that earth. It's an agreement. It's a covenant between me and God. On the day that I bowed on that altar, on the day that I asked God to save my soul, God said, I will save you. But when is my soul redeemed? Friend, I'm saved. But really the redemption is to be taken place one day. One day when I close my eyes in death and breathe my last breath, friend, that's when God takes over and performs that I could not do for myself. And why couldn't I? Because, friend, I've never, ever sacrificed anything on the altar. I've never done it. I've never had nothing to bring. My righteousness wouldn't work. My holiness wouldn't work. In fact, I could bring the blood of animals. I could bring animals and sacrifice on an altar. And I could build specks and I could put together things and build my own altar out there in the yard. But friend of mine, it would never take away my sins because of imperfections. But what Noah did on that day and what others have done since that time has been building and painting a picture. And each time we look at that picture, that altar, what you would put on there would be an animal without spot and without blemish. You read your Bible here, he used those clean ones. And without spot and without blemish. And friend, that's the reason we can't do it. But one day, the perfect sacrifice came along. And that perfect sacrifice, when Noah built that altar, he looked for the perfect. And this is all he could find. Friend, one day, when God showed me my sins, I looked for something perfect to take away my sins. And when I looked within, it was not there. No. Not one good thing could I say I've ever done. But friend, as well as God showed me my sins, God showed me Jesus. He showed me Jesus just like he showed Brother Noah those clean animals to lay on that altar. Just like Brother Dusty said and mentioned when Abraham was told to sacrifice his only son, Isaac, and laid him on that altar. Friend, Abraham had in his mind he was going to run that child through. But God had already worked this deal out ahead of time and already had a ram stuck in the thicket just waiting for Abraham to do what he was going to do. And at the last second, that angel said, whoop, wait a minute. There's a better sacrifice than this. There's one better. In my life, there was one better. And in understanding God, God showed me Jesus that was way better than what man could do. And he come in and he took my sins away. And on that day, me and God made a covenant. And on that covenant, the agreement was that God would save my soul come the end. And every day that there was a rain, every day there was a rain that come around, somebody in Noah's day said, Noah, is it going to rain like it did before? Oh, Noah would look around the corner and what'd he see? They'd see this beautiful bow in the sky. Noah, is it going to rain like it did before? Noah would look over yonder and see that bow and say, nope, it's not going to rain like it did before. Why? How do you know it's not going to rain like that? Because God gave me that bow. And every time I see that bow, I know it's a promise of God. And every time that somebody says, what happens to you? You're going to die. Are you going to go to hell? Nope. How do you know you're not going to go to hell? How do you know that when you die, you're just not in that grave? For simplicity's sake, you see that cross on Calvary's hill? You see that cross on Calvary's hill? I may not have saw him there because it happened a couple of thousand years, but you can't hide these eyes from seeing what God let me see. Oh, thank God. Thank God that through the eyes of God, we're able to see Jesus in his perfection saving my soul. Thank God that one day Jesus showed me that his way is a whole lot better than my ways. And that agreement that me and God made was made possible through the sacrifice on that altar. And when I see the cross, it's the same thing that Brother Noah saw when he saw that bow. It was a covenant between God and me. And it'll last. How long will it last, preacher? On the day I die, I won't need to see that cross no more. Because I'll see the one that paid for my sins. But if by chance I die today, and God hadn't come and raptured the church, and the world just keeps on going like it is right now, there's still going to be a rainbow in the sky. And somebody's still going to say, hey, Brother Noah, is it going to rain like it did before? Noah would say, no. Hey, preacher, I know you done did. Is it all over for you? No. How do you know? Just like there's a rainbow in the sky. And just like there's a cross still on Calvary. Just like there's a cross still on Calvary. I got a better place to go. I'm going on. How about you? Have you seen the cross of Calvary? Have you seen it? When we went over the Holy Land, looked at the place of the skull, Golgotha. We looked up there on the top of that mountain. There wasn't no cross. There wasn't three crosses up there. There wasn't no crosses up there. I looked and there wasn't nothing. Was I disappointed? Oh no. Because whenever I look through man's eyes, I see the sins that man commit. But when I look through the eyes that God by faith, I look and I saw those three crosses. But I really didn't see but one. That one in the middle that Jesus died for my sins. If you're lost without God today, I want you to know something. You'll have to look by faith. Because faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. You'll have to look to Jesus by faith. Because if you think there's any holiness, any virtue out of that bench up here that's got up foam and covering, some kind of covering over it, a little wood. If you think for one minute that's your salvation, you're wrong. But if you'll come to God and lay your sins on the altar, and by faith accept that salvation that Jesus bled and died for, friend of mine, you can be saved. But if you trust in man, you're going to die and go to hell. I'm glad there was a covenant between Noah and God and Abraham and God and David and God and John the Baptist and God and Redmond Talley and God. And you can make that same covenant today. You can be saved. Brother Greg, a song. I can't tell you a lot about this world. I'm not a very educated person on the worldly things. I can't tell a lot of times what's going on. Maybe I might not watch the news, so I'm not informed. I don't watch the weather until it hits. Many things I might be kind of ignorant on, and I'm okay being ignorant. But when it comes to the things of God, I'm glad I got a better place to go. I'm glad that salvation was bought and paid for by Jesus. And you can have that same salvation. It's even at the foot of the cross. There's nobody bigger, nobody littler. When I go to heaven, I'm not better than you. Jesus saved my soul just like He saved your soul if you'll come to Him. I'm glad that whenever I get there, I'm glad it's not because of works of righteousness which I've done. I'm glad it's because of the blood of Jesus, and you can come today. You can know Him in the free pardon of sin. May we stand to our feet and sing a verse of a song. And if you're willing to come down to this altar, you can be saved today. Would you come?